I bring you greetings from Cross Lanes Chapel. It's now our midweek meeting. May the Lord richly bless you and bless us all as we turn to the Word and later turn to Him in prayer. As the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We turn to our first praise, Psalm 71, and we're singing verses 1 through to verse 6, and the tune is Contemplation. Psalm 71, verses 1 through to verse 6. O Lord, my hope and confidence is placed in thee alone, then let thy servant never be put to confusion. Psalm 71, verses 1 through to verse 6.
O Lord, my
So Psalm 119, and we read the portion from verse 89 through to verse 96. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We come now to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we bow our hearts before thee this evening hour, and we pray that thou be attentive to our prayers tonight. Help us to pray. We come to thee through the name of our precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for him, for the access we have now, for the encouragement we have to come unto thee. Oh, we are so blessed. We thank thee through his finished work. We are saved, and we are in the family, and we have a wonderful hope of eternal life. O Lord, help us to think much of the blessings we have because of him, and may our love towards thee increase. We will afresh this evening hour take the opportunity to renew our love unto thee. And we come looking to thee by way of faith, praying that thou art help us this evening hour. Bless thy word to us now, give help in the preaching, and help us all in the hearing of thy word this evening hour, we beseech thee. So Lord, hear us now, bless us in thy word, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you return back to Psalm 119, and you'll find my text in verse 94. Psalm 119 and verse 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Dear congregation, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 16, we read these words, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And as we think of that union, it is a real, loving, and lasting union, in which we who love the Lord are so blessed. We are so undeserving, yet we are blessed, so that we this evening hour would consider afresh the blessings we have and how blessed we are. As one of old put it, we have been rendered happy or blessed through him. Now as we make our journey through this wilderness, not only are we to consider how blessed we are, but we can be assured that there is help at hand. And this being so, in light of our text tonight, we make this plea, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. We belong to the Lord, we are in union with Christ. We can be assured that there is help at hand. And so as we come to prayer tonight, let us earnestly make this plea. Now as we come to this text, we consider this prevailing argument as the psalmist makes his plea, I am thine. Without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider, first of all, evidence of belonging to God. Secondly, God's property. We note these words, I am thine. And then thirdly, as we draw to a close tonight, a simple plea. Evidence of belonging to God, God's property, and a simple plea. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Now notice what the psalmist says here. I have sought thy precepts. Here was genuine prayer. He's making a genuine plea from his heart. And as we consider this plea here, it bears evidence that he belonged to God. For I have sought thy precepts. I have genuinely sought thy precepts. He was seeking to be obedient. He was seeking to live his life in obedience to the word, following the Lord, and he was seeking to follow that pathway of holiness. It was his concern for the glory of God, for the benefit of others, but also for his own personal benefit. He was not perfect, yet he made this pursuit. Spurgeon wrote, commenting on these words, "To seek the precepts is a sure sign of grace. No one ever heard of a rebel or a hypocrite seeking the precepts. Here's an evidence. Here's an evidence of grace, or a mark of grace, for I have sought thy precepts." Now, as we will consider later, he uses it as an argument in prayer. "But oh, consider this evident of grace, for I have sought thy precepts." Is there this evidence in your life? Now, many believers suffer with doubts and therefore with assurance. People struggle with assurance. It may be that one has loved the Lord for many years, but there comes a challenging time and they struggle with assurance. It's not an uncommon thing. The Westminster Confession writes, "This infallible assurance doth not so much belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be a partaker of it." And later on in that section, "True believers may have their assurance of salvation in divers ways shaken, diminished, or intermitted." And many will struggle with assurance. Sometimes the devil comes and whispers in the ear, "How can you be a Christian? Look what you've done. Look how you've been living your life recently. How can you be a Christian?" The believer can go through a difficult time, and many of us have known some. Back in the spring, I was preaching on the marks of grace in Scotland. And in the congregation on the Friday evening, there was a certain minister who has been so blessed by the Lord and was a great champion for the truth. Yet near the end of his life, he fought himself not to be a Christian. He was suffering. Everyone knew, not only in Scotland, the rest of the UK, but around the world, that he was a man of God. Such a godly man, yet near the end of his life he struggled with doubts. It can happen. Yet people knew. You know, we are known by our fruits. And sometimes when one is struggling, others need to come alongside. There's the evidence in your life that you love the Lord. People can struggle. Let me use at this point an illustration. Let's go back to the wilderness and the brazen serpent. And that great multitude, the children of Israel, the brazen serpent was to be erected, and those who looked lived. Where there were those in the camp, in that area, who were nearer the brazen serpent. If they looked, they lived. They could see finer detail on the serpent. But there were others farther away. If they looked, they lived, but they couldn't see so much detail. They wouldn't see it so clearly, yet they were living because they looked. There's a lovely illustration there. There are some who see greater detail. There are others who do not see that much detail, and they may struggle with doubts, yet they are the Lord's. They have faith, but oh, how doubts can arise. How the devil can whisper in our ear. As we come to this verse, is there this evidence in your life that you are the Lord's? "For I have sought thy precepts." I hadn't sought them at times as I would have so loved to have sought them, but I have sought to live following thy word. Are you a Christian? Is there the evidence in your life? Well, let's think of this, the evidence of belonging to the Lord. We see it here, "For I have sought thy precepts." I do love the word, and I desire to follow it. Let's think of another mark of grace, love in the heart. Is there love in your heart? You recall those words in 1 John 3, verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." We know, because there's love in my heart. I love the Lord, and I love that brother and sister. I really do. At times my love may be tested, but I love them. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, love in the soul is not only a benefit to the brother and sister, but it is an aid to assurance. There is this mark of grace. We know that we have passed from death unto life. At this point, turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and we see there some further marks of grace. Come with me, first of all, to verse 5. I am black. And we consider there, first of all, in that chapter, a true sense of sin. I am black. There's a mark of grace. One feels their sin, yes, some to a greater measure, but the true believer feels their sin, if it be a lesser measure than others. There's a true sense of sin. I am black, I feel it. I feel my sin, I've done wrong. Another mark of grace, a sincere thankfulness for the righteousness of Christ. Verse 5, I am black, but comely. There's the believer, feeling their sin, but then thankful for the righteousness of Christ, because they are clothed and they are comely. And are we not thankful for the righteousness of Christ? There's a mark of grace. One looks away from self to Christ. They feel of themselves, they're black, but then they look to Christ. And they're comely because of his righteousness. Thirdly, another mark of grace. An unfeigned love for Christ. Verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. I love thee, Lord. You see there, the believer in that chapter feels their sin. I'm black, but I do love thee. We do love the Lord. At times our love is so faint. It's like that watermark, isn't it? On the page, you may have drawn a picture, but then you spill some water. And the ink is fainter. But it is there, isn't it? At times our love is like the watermark. It's faint, but it is there. I do love thee. An unfeigned love for Christ. Or at times doubts may arise, but I do love thee, Lord. Fourthly, a genuine desire for communion. Verse 4 of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Draw me, we will run after thee. I've been struggling, but Lord, I do desire to know thy presence. And then verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me, I know, Lord, but I really want to be brought again. I want to be under the word. A genuine desire for communion. I love thee, and I desire to dine with thee. The heart is stirred. One may be going through a time of difficulty, but then the heart stirs. It may be a little while, but the heart stirs. Oh, I want to know more. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. It is genuine desire for communion. Fifthly, a real longing to know more of the love of Christ. A real longing to know more of the love of Christ. Verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. I want to know more. I'm struggling, Lord, but I do desire to know more. I want a greater sense of thy love. I don't feel it, but I do long for it. There's a mark of grace. You miss him at times. You want to know more of his love. For here's an evidence here in the verse. For I have sought thy precepts. I do belong to the Lord. You may be struggling. Do you struggle with assurance? Well, turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is John is writing there to believers. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. And so if you're struggling this evening hour of assurance, can I commend to you what the scriptures teach us to do is to go to the word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe. Go to the word of God. Pray that the Lord would speak to you. And I can assure you, he will speak. It may not be tonight that you really feel the Lord is speaking, but it will come in time. Because the Lord so loves you. He has you on his hands. He will come. The Spirit will move your soul. And I assure you, you'll be able to say one day, "Ah, the Lord, he's speaking to me. I am the Lord's." Or if you're struggling, go to the Word of God. I remember being this taught at college. Those who struggle with assurance, direct them to the Word of God and direct them to Calvary. It's not what you have done, is it? It is what Christ has done. Oh, turn to Calvary. Consider your blessed Lord. Now the psalmist said here, "For I have sought thy precepts." I have. I sought thy precepts, thy word, thy law. I'm seeking. Yes, I desire to seek much more, but I am seeking. I need help. But I'm seeking. I'm seeking because I desire to please thee. And there is blessing in keeping. Oh, let us be known for seeking, for turning to the Word of God in a prayerful spirit. In Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He turns to the Word of God. He finds delight. He's seeking to go in the pathway of God's precepts. Secondly, God's property. God's property. "I am thine. Save me." In a moment we'll consider this little plea, "Save me." But you see here how the psalmist uses this argument with the Lord. "I am thine." And it's not wrong to use such an argument as we make our plea. "Lord, I belong to thee. I am thine. I belong. Oh, help me. I am thine." Now, it's an amazing testimony, isn't it? "I am thine." It's a wonderful testimony. Just pause and consider, dear child of God, you belong to God tonight. You belong to a holy God, a thrice holy God, who is infinitely holy, whose name is holy, Psalm 37. You belong to him. How amazing. As I think of my own life, my sin, the blackness, how amazing that I belong to God. Or as we think of these words, what grace that we should know God and belong to him. What grace has been shown to us. It's amazing, isn't it, this testimony? "I am thine." Oh, we've got something to tell others, haven't we? They may not understand it. They may not think it wonderful if they do not love Christ. But we have an amazing testimony. "I am thine. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. He's so pure. He's so lovely. I belong to him." Oh, at times we feel like Peter saying to him, "Depart from me. Depart from me." Why? Because we feel our sin. But he'll never forsake us. He's so holy, yet the union will never be broken. We belong to Jesus. I'm in union with him. You call those words in the Song of Solomon 2, verse 16, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." He's mine, and I am his. It's a real union. It's really true, dear brothers and sisters. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he belongs to us. Oh, can I impress this upon you tonight? Oh, that you would grasp it. You belong to him. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. Dear young people, I know there are many thoughts on your mind at this present time. And for many of you, you're receiving your exam results and you're wondering, some of you, what they may be on the morrow. Well, above all your thoughts tomorrow, remember this, dear young people who love the Lord. You belong to Jesus, and he belongs to you. What a blessing that is. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. It's a real union. It's a loving union. Oh, we've already thought tonight already at times our love is just like the watermark, but we do love him. But oh, then think of his love. What love, what love he has for you tonight. It's a real and it's a loving, and thirdly, it's a lasting union. It's a lasting union. Dear brothers and sisters, tonight you can look forward. Yes, there will be valleys, but you know the union is forever. When you come to the green pastures, you will still be in union with him. When you come to the valleys, he will be with you. When you come to death, he will be with you there. And that union will still be there. And when death comes, the union will not be dissolved. The moment before death, you will be in union with Christ. The moment of death, you will be in union with Christ. And the moment after death, when you're standing in his presence, looking at him with the eyes of your soul, he will still be in your heart. You will be in union with him, and you will be in union forever. After death, I will still be his. My soul will be in his immediate presence, united to him. And my body, though in the grave, will be sleeping in Jesus, united to him. For he came to redeem my whole person. How do we know that? Because are we not awaiting, as we see in Romans 8 verse 23, the redemption of the body? You see, he came to accomplish redemption for us, not only for our souls, but also for our bodies. We're awaiting one day the redemption of the body. And so between death and that wonderful moment, my body will be sleeping in Jesus. The union there will not be broken. How wonderful. It's a lasting union. I am his forever. One of old wrote, not just for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Just think of it. Just grasp it. As you think of these words here, I am thine. And I am thine, not only for the years of this life, but for all eternity. We're so blessed, aren't we? I am thine. Well, let's consider a few further things at this point. I am thine. First of all, we are God's by his electing grace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. The apostle there speaking of the wonderful blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Chosen, selecting grace. If you turn back to John 17 verse 6, we read this, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Thine they were. And our Lord is considering their electing grace. Thine they were. That's wonderful, isn't it? Why such love to us? Why such grace that he chose us? I am thine. His by electing grace. His by electing grace. Secondly, believers were given to Christ. Believers were given to Christ, and that in the covenant of grace. Again, John 17 verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Thine they were, which thou gavest them me out of the world, and thou gavest them me. We were given. It's amazing, isn't it? We were a gift unto Christ. Christ represented us, having received us as a gift. Thou gavest them me. That's amazing, isn't it? We were given to Christ. The Westminster Confession writes, he did from all eternity give a people to be his seed. Thirdly, as we think of these words, I am thine, We were purchased by Jesus. You recall those words in Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus. He saves. He is God's salvation. And he came. And he accomplished redemption for his people. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. You recall these words. For ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. Christ purchased us. We think the Boaz purchased, as it were, Ruth. Christ purchased his people. And so we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. Ye are redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, says Peter, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed, we were purchased. I am thine. Oh, as we think of these words tonight, let's go to Calvary and admire his love, what he did for us there on the cross, that we would be able to say tonight, I am thine. He bought us. I am thine. Oh, as you read these words tonight, go to Calvary. Consider Jesus who went to the cross. Fourthly, as we think of these words, I am thine, we are the Lord's by adopting grace. If we turn back to Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us and chose us unto the adoption of children. That's wonderful, isn't it? And it's a grace. John writes in 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What love? Well, consider we've been adopted. What a gracious act. We're in the family now. We belong to that number. We can address the Lord as our Father in a special way. You know, many know those words of direction our Lord gave, our Father, which art in heaven. How blessed we are to be able to say tonight, our Father, as we come to prayer, our Father, thou hast adopted me. I'm in the family. I can cry because of the Holy Spirit, Abba Father. In Galatians 4 verse 6 we read, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Abba Father. The Holy Spirit was moving the heart of the psalmist and prompting him to pray, I am thine. Abba Father. I am thine. I belong to thee. Our Father, which art in heaven. I am thine. Now listen to Richard Greenham. This is an excellent motive to draw from the Lord help in trouble. I am thine. Thine by creation, I was made by thee. Thine by adoption, I was assigned over to thee. Thine by donation, I was given to thee. Thine by marriage, I was espoused to thee. Thine by redemption, I was purchased by thee. What a privilege. I am thine. We belong to the Lord. We're moving on secondly here. It's a comfort in affliction, isn't it? We considered how we belong to the Lord and why we are the Lord's. But let's consider secondly here. It's a comfort in affliction. The psalmist is struggling. You notice verse 92, as we saw last time, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I am thine, save me. It was a help, wasn't it? And it was a comfort in affliction. I am thine, do not forsake me, but help me. And his soul is encouraged to make this plea, because he knew the comfort that he belonged to the Lord. And is it not a help in affliction to know the comfort that we belong to the Lord? He will not forget you. Turn with me to Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her second child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He does not forget, and is that not a great comfort to us? I am thine. It's a comfort in affliction to be able to say those words and know the truth of those words. He will not forget. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, says the Lord. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. This very evening, he's looking at his hands, and he's thinking of you. Sometimes when I look at my hands, I see the dirt on my hands, if I've been working out in the garden. I take note of that. The Lord at this very moment is looking at his hands, and he thinks of you. We look at his heart, and we say, I am thine. He looks at his hands. He thinks of us. We look at him and we say, I am thine. It's a comfort, isn't it? If you're finding it tough at this time, you just read these words over and over. Lord, if you would know the comfort, you belong to the Lord. But then thirdly, consider our responsibility. I am thine. No wonder the psalmist says, for I have sought thy precepts. He's seeking to live a holy life because he belongs to the Lord. Go back to those words again in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't belong to ourselves. We are bought with a price. I've said this before, but I can remember what my mother used to say to me as I used to go out. And I remember one particular time at the back door, Mum said to me, remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. Let's remember whose we are tonight. As we go out into this world, as we live our lives, we don't belong to ourselves. We're lights, and we're to be shining in this dark world. Oh, to shine more brightly. Oh, to point sinners to Christ by the way we speak, by the way we act. Oh, to remember our responsibility this evening, how we are bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We're so thankful for that, aren't we? We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to the world. We belong to him who is altogether lovely. Let's know our responsibility. Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. Isaiah 64, verse 8. We're the clay. He's the potter. Oh, to remember it. Oh, let it be our testimony. I am thine. Let us seek to do that which is right and live in a responsible way. You remember Jonah, when he was brought to that point, he said to the mariners, Jonah 1, verse 9, I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He owns up. He'd been going astray, but he'd been brought back. He came to himself, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Oh, let's remember who we belong to. And let us seek to walk in a way that glorifies him. Just think of those words again. We are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We're to seek to glorify God. In our soul, but also in our bodies. Oh, may the Lord help us. I am thine. Oh, what a wonderful, amazing truth. What a comforting truth and affection. But may we also remember our responsibility. As we draw to a close now, let's consider thirdly, a simple plea. A simple plea. I am thine, save me. You recall again, he's using an argument here in prayer. I am thine. I sought thy precepts. Save me. Save me. Help me. Deliver me. Defend me. Preserve me. It's all there in the word. Help, Lord. I am thine. Remember me. Come to mine aid. He will not forsake. Lord, do not forsake me then. I'm in this trial, I'm in this perplexity. Come to mine aid. Help me in the battle. Oh, we face the battle, do we not? And at times it's so intense, isn't it? You know what it's like? You're going along and you're aware of the battle, then it's so intense. Help me in this affliction. Something's come on the horizon. Help me, Lord. In this trial, settle my mind. Bring that tranquility to my soul, that I may be able to say all is well for my soul. Come to mine aid, Lord. I am thine. Do not forget me. Preserve me. Continue to apply redemption. Save me. Your prayer will be heard. Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. They may forget, but I will not forget thee. And oh, when this comfort comes home, it helps us to pray, doesn't it? He will help you, because you belong to him. He will preserve you. He will defend. The child can rest. We're children, aren't we? I am thine. We're thinking of our Father. We're thinking of our covenant God. We're thinking of our blessed Redeemer. We can rest. We are his children. Oh, turn to your Father tonight. Make your way to your covenant God. Turn to your beloved Redeemer. And make your plea. As you do so tonight, enforce it humbly with this argument. I am thine. Oh, we are the apple of his eye. We are loved in such a special way. He will not break his covenant. He will not go back on his word. The Lord so loves you. Help is coming. He will answer your prayer. May the Lord bless. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. At this point, we turn to the points for prayer on the letter, which is on Crosslane's app. May the Lord bless you in your own homes at this time as you turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's conclude now by turning to our final psalm. Psalm 22, we're going to sing verses 22 to verse 26. Psalm 22, verses 22 through to verse 26. I will show forth thy name unto those that my brethren are, amidst the congregation, thy praise I will declare. The tune is Minva, Psalm 22, verses 22 to verse 26. God, we count it a great privilege that we belong unto Thee. O precious are those words, I am Thine. O Lord, may we be lost in the wonder of it. May we be thankful for Thy grace and our Redeemer, who went all the way to the cross. Help us, O Lord, to live in a responsible way. O, we make that plea tonight. Save me. Help me. Help us all. As we turn to prayer, help us in the situations in life we face. Oh, Thou wilt never forget us, and therefore we take comfort that help is on its way. Be with the congregation here at Ipsley, may they know Thy blessing, and others near and far this evening hour, draw near, we pray. Forgive us our many sins, and be glorified this night, for Christ's sake. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.